Doral happens to be within Miami. It's a city. It's a wonderful place. It's a very, very successful area of Florida. It's very importantly only 5 minutes from the airport. The airport's right next door. We have a series of magnificent buildings. We call them bungalows. They each hold from 50 to 70 very luxurious rooms with magnificent views. We have incredible conference rooms, incredible restaurants. It's like such a natural. We wouldn't even have to do the work that they did here. And they've done a beautiful job. They've really done a beautiful job. The ballrooms are among the biggest in Florida and the best. Yeah. It's brand new. And they want that. My people wanted it. From my standpoint, I'm not going to make any money. In my opinion, I'm not going to make any money.
No.
I don't want to make money. I don't care about making money.
No. That's the President of the United States at the G7 today, selling his property for the next G7 event in America next year.
Uh-huh. Selling hard.
Yeah.
Gorgeous bungalows.
Bungalows. They call them bungalows. Okay. There you go. A.B. Stoddard joins us, realclearpolitics.com. Okay, A.B.
So that's happening. So,
yeah. You know, I like to sometimes play the imagine anybody else saying it game, and I just cannot imagine anybody. I mean, it's kind of shameless. I mean, isn't it responsible as an owner, you know, just an ethical thing? Well, you know, listen, I got an interest in that. It probably would look bad if they did it at my property, right? I'm president of the United States. I'm president for everybody. I have to be responsible to everybody. Like, you know, somebody else should be profiting from this, not me. You know, doesn't that seem like the right thing? Not him! Not him!
The definition of shameless self-promotion. I mean, there's no shame anywhere.
No, none.
In that presentation with the tinkling piano music in the background.
Yeah.
I mean, he is like having a ball. He's in a conference room and he's selling this resort and he knows how to do it. And it's really where he's happiest. Like you can, you know, he just gets on it and he's totally in. He's in his place. He's in the zone. And you know, Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington or whatever that crew, they just, you know, they're always updating this report. He's up to 2,310 conflicts of interest with his business, businesses he still runs and profits from while he's president. And it just rolls on. This is really, no one stopped him. The courts haven't yet, and they might, but you know, it's until then, you just go for it. And I think we've seen it. I mean, it's just, you know, he's always at a Trump property. He's always playing golf, Mar-a-Lago. It goes on and on. And he wants to have Putin, and it's going to be great.
Yeah. You know what? Now, Putin gets his own bungalow. That's going to be the best.
Oh, geez.
Everyone gets their own bungalow. If she wants to come too, he can have his own bungalow.
When they said, would you invite Putin? And he was like, oh, yes, of course I'd invite him. And then he goes, he's a very proud man. I mean, I don't know if he'd want to come from a psychological standpoint.
Yeah, of course, right. Yeah, I know. I thought the whole thing, do you have the Kim Jong-un thing about
Melania?
Because that, to me, I know I'm asking for stuff. I don't even know if they have it set up right now. But that is the... That was just the strangest moment of this whole deal. Was he's there, he's talking, and it's about and Kim Jong-un. Again, let's just play the game. Anybody else say this? It doesn't make any sense. Kim Jong-un is one of the most notorious mass murderers of the 21st century. This is not a guy that you want to necessarily build up as a good guy.
Kim Jong-un, who I've gotten to know extremely well. First Lady has gotten to know Kim Jong-un, and I think she'd agree with me. He is a man with a country that has tremendous potential. Mm-hmm. You're in between China, Russia, and South Korea. People want to get to South Korea. They got to get there somehow, and if they're going to do anything other than essentially fly, they want to go through. So railroads and everything else. So many things want to happen
right
there.
Yeah, that's if you want to get to South Korea, it can only go through North Korea. That's if you're coming from Siberia. That's the problem with that.
The no one thing is in what happened there.
Eastern Russia.
And of course, the White House later on had to admit right. that Melania Trump has actually never met the great chairman.
Right. Yes,
and never met him.
Yeah. Dear friend.
But clarified that she felt as if she had based on.
No, 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 no. They clarified
that she felt.
No, no. Right. He felt that. No, he clarified.
She felt she had met Kim Jong-un based on his conversations about the man.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
It's Kim Jong-un. It's Kim Jong-un. Oh, my God. Which is not related.
The other day, when I think it was the first day of the G7, when he was asked about him testing again, he goes, you know, he likes testing missiles.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah, the guy likes to test. So what?
He likes it.
You want to test things. You want to make sure they work. Look at the Russians. They couldn't get it to work. You got to test. All right. I got to ask you something. Now, this Joe Walsh. Is running for president. I know that I was just told in my ear by our erstwhile producer Jeff Carlin that you've taken up the a little bit of the interest in what this guy's doing. I'm going to try to disabuse you of this notion
for him because everyone is like bashing him for being, you know, some kind of scoundrel. And my feeling is like, are we pretending he's going to win the nomination? Like he's you know he said he's sorry. He might be enjoying his, you know, tour on cable news, but he's actually trying to rough up Donald Trump, and he just might. And he might depress a few Republican voters into not turning out and raise the issue of Trump's fitness. And so, you know, I was on Nicole Walls' show today, and everyone's like, you're a racist, and, like, really going after him. And I don't think Joe's point was, like, to come in here and run against Trump as a racist. And I think he's just saying, look, I was one of these, like, knuckle-dragging partisans, and now I realize it was really dangerous. And, look, I like, you know, people who leave tribalism. I'm up with that.
Yeah.
And I just think, like, he's trying to tell people, you know, so he's running to the right of Bill Weld, and he's trying to, you know, eventually, if he starts talking about policy, like, limited government and, you know, raging debt. I mean, maybe, like I said, he depresses a few votes, and that's how Trump won, was because Democrats had a few depressed, you know, non-voters, and they didn't turn out for Hillary. So I just don't understand this big thing where, like, we're taking Joe Walsh seriously, and we're crushed that he's not perfect. Like, who cares?
But he's saying it's not about the issues. When he's on the Sunday morning talk shows, I wouldn't even be in this race if it were the issues. It's really about the morals. That's the point he's making. And if you look at his moral history, I don't, aren't there other people within the Republican Party who could stand up and do this?
He's an asshat.
No, I think that's true. No, I really take your point, Anna, but he was also saying, I've heard him in every interview say, why hasn't someone stood up? Why hasn't someone stood up? So it's true. I would help Joan hone his message a little more tightly if I were, you know, in his camp. But I'm just saying, like, why are we piling on Joe Walsh? Whatever. It's just another sideshow.
We just know him too well here.
It's kind of harmless, is what I'm saying.
Well, it is. Okay, now, I would say that if we didn't spend a lot of time with him here. Unfortunately, when he was, you know, in radio here, and then when he was running for Congress, and then his Twitter feed, you know, Obama's a Muslim, Happy New Year, his use of the N-word on the air, on the radio, just to prove he could say it.
On social media, he's used all kinds of slurs, including the N-word.
Yeah.
I mean, he talked about the Sandy Hook parents and how they're just politically motivated. I mean, way to show empathy after they lost their children. I mean, there's so many examples.
Yeah.
So many examples.
He was an intentional asshat. He was a guy who went out attempting to just be a jerk so he'd get it, you know, he could draw attention to himself because he didn't have to worry about where his next meal's coming from.
I'm just saying that him. Then why don't we talk about Scaramucci? Like, well, I guess we did last time we talked, but I mean, you know, now he's on TV every day. He's like a presidential expert or whatever.
Yes,
I mean,
yeah.
It is what it is, right? These people are seeing the light late. We're all saying they're, you know, hypocrites, but they're trying to stop Trump, and they think he's unfit, and they think he's a threat to democracy. And, you know, on those grounds, I appreciate the effort because I happen to agree that he's unfit. Like, forget all the policies, right?
So that's true. So you got Scaramucci, who obviously has an axe to grind. You got a guy who is, you know, is a professional clown who just wants to get invited to the next birthday party in Joe Walsh. Now, here, booked the next birthday party, never invited. This is not a guy that gets invited to any party, I would imagine. Here is the question. Why isn't a real Republican why isn't there somebody in leadership? Or why isn't even, I mean, even at this point, you know, there's an opportunity, you know, for a Paul Ryan to step yeah. up and say, this is irresponsible. Somebody who is real, somebody who has actual, you know, bona fides to step up and say this and has an audience and or somebody who's been in the administration. You know, you and I have often talked about Dan Coats and people, mm-hmm. other people that you and I know and respect who have been in and out of this, in and out of that administration already. Those are the people who have to stand up, not Scaramucci.
Agreed, but let's just admit why they're not. I mean, they're not because they've lost the voters. The voters don't care about limited government. The voters don't care about free trade. The voters don't care about eminent domain. The voters don't care about cruelty. The voters don't care about lying, and they don't care about deficits or debt. They care about Trump, and he has an 88% approval rating with them. And so no real Republican is going to go in and pretend they have a real chance to take the nomination away from him when the RNC is a subsidiary of the Trump Organization. They hold their events at his properties. They rent a place in Trump Tower. They've blocked at the state level and local level any means by which, changing rules, anyone could come in and challenge the president in the primary process, you know, ultimately locking it down for him. So no real Republican is going to waste their time. They don't think the voters would listen. So that's why you have these kind of sideshows, which is an effort to just call attention to, you know, all the hypocrisy, all the lying, all the unfit and all that stuff, and then hope, you know, in doing this, you just raise the dialogue, the debate, and you depress Republican voters. But there's no one is going to challenge him for the nomination and win.
Okay. All right. Well, I mean, just say this, that he is going to lose when he bombs this hurricane that's coming up through the Caribbean right now.
I think,
and when he takes out Nevis and St. Kitts with a 10 megaton thermonuclear weapon, then we're going to know.
Every time he does something completely loopy, people on Twitter say, this is just what the voters of Pennsylvania, Wisconsin were asking for.
Right. Well, I think they were.
When I read the hurricane plan, I was like, that's what they wanted.
Right.
The working class whites in Michigan were like, it's time we nuke hurricanes.
Well, let me tell you, the working class whites in Michigan, they missed an opportunity. Did you hear about the woman who was running for the city council in Marysville, Michigan?
Oh, yeah. That's really pretty.
Yeah. She wants, you don't want any foreign-born people in her town. What about the Canadians? Well, they're white. So that's okay. And you know what? I mean, this is where we live now, where people can say that, again, shamelessly. Whose
yes,
fault is
absolutely.
That?
Yes, absolutely. There was a KKK rally in North Carolina this weekend. Come on now. Mm-hmm. This isn't new. And, I mean, we all know he's made it perfectly clear to his voters the only immigrants he likes are blondes from Norway, and he doesn't want anyone else from the asshole countries. I mean, he's pretty open about it.
Yeah. AB, true. Do you believe with this poll, this Monmouth poll that's stirring up a lot of talk today, that Bernie and Elizabeth Warren are way up there tied with Biden? I mean, it seems like a little bit of an outlier poll because they only had 300 people in the sample size. But a month ago, you couldn't find a poll that didn't show Biden so far ahead that he was doubling even his nearest competitor.
You are right. This is the first poll that he has not led.
Yeah,
and I think it's a serious sign for the Biden campaign. I think they have to be, you know, really scared by it. They have to understand his shortcomings and his liabilities. They have to appreciate Warren's strength. I don't think that this means that she's the nominee, and I'm very confused by sort of Sanders' durability when he hasn't been doing so well, and some other polling he's been slipping. So that's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
A lot will happen in the next debate, and I am. I think, you know, what the party kind of operatives and the party establishment sources tell me is that they're so interested by in the polling is that people are not wedded to a candidate and they have like three people they like. And so that basically, although we think it's cementing so much, it's really not cementing yet.
Right,
and so
right,
she is going to do really well in places with college whites. She's going to do well in Iowa. I mean, she is a threat in states where she has that educated, progressive white coalition. But until she wins over black support, I'm not, you know, going to write off Joe Biden. But it's so interesting. It's very volatile. Harris is really stuck. Beto and Buttigieg are stuck. Booker rose up a little in that poll, but it's I'm stunned that we're really, you know, looking at that Sanders and Warren and Biden are the top three.
So let me just ask you very quickly: if Sanders got out, would Warren be the leader, the heads up leader?
Yes, I think so. Right. I do. Okay. Although a lot of like Bernie and Biden voters say their second choice is Bernie or Biden, which is really weird because they have a working class white, less educated block of voters. But I really don't think Bernie's going to get out. I think he's going to stay until the bitter end, and I think it could be a real mess.
Oh, God.
I just think he has this really durable, like, right, loyal support that hangs with him, and it's not enough to get the nomination, but, you know, he's not interested in going away.
Yeah. Right. Okay. I got to go. You know what? Right now, I got a guy out front who's selling me a timeshare at Doral right now, and I got to get out there before I got to get there because I want to be in the Putin suite is what I want at Doral. All right,
Putin bungalow.
Thank you, AB.
Thanks.
Bye. Thanks, AB.
AB Stoddard, Real Clear Politics. Right now, Kim, what's coming up at the top?
Some community groups grading Mayor Lightfoot on her first 100 days in office.